Most movie studios think you're just a puppet, that they can trot out any old schlock and that you'll give up your hard-earned dollars to see it. Well, the Unusual Suspects are here to cut those strings. Betray your puppet masters. Let them know that you mean business, that you have taste, that they can't just put their sticky fingers into the folds of your wallet and make you do what they say, make you dance to their tune. This is a Highly Suspect review.
Time to reapply the makeup and relight the lights because it's a Muppet sequel. Muppets again, or Muppets Most Wanted. I love the fact that despite the fact that they acknowledge that this is a sequel throughout the whole opening song, they don't acknowledge the fact that the title apparently changed from the time the first song wrapped shooting to the time the title card came in immediately thereafter, because they still call it Muppets Again in the opening song and then go, Muppets Most Wanted. Which I thought was funny. Do you remember when it was going to be called Muppets Again?
No, not at all. Yeah. I honestly don't follow the Muppets the way everybody else does.
I
like the Muppets.
I'm drafting right behind that bus.
I like the Muppets, but I'm not in love with the Muppets.
Well, this is the Highly Suspect review of Muppets Again, Most Wanted Again.
I don't mind if the Muppets show up at my party, but I'm not going to fuck one of them. You know what I mean?
Speak for yourself, Bo.
I want you to look Scooter into the eyes attached to his glasses and tell him that. I don't think you'd be able to. He is adorable.
I wouldn't have the heart to tell him that because his roles are diminishing in each movie.
Well, yeah, they gave his part to a complete unknown in the last movie.
Yeah, that's what killed me in the last one. I'm like, okay, who the fuck is this Walter? And stop hijacking the Muppets movie.
Meanwhile, Scooter's sister is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
We're hoping for the best in that Muppet manhunt.
Maybe that is Walter.
To be fair, he's just Kermit spray-painted orange. Just put him to a satin jacket.
Yeah, that kid whose favorite Muppet Scooter is going to be so upset.
You shut your filthy whore mouth.
This whole room is just Scooter everywhere. Well, this is Brian Salisbury, and I am joined by...
Ashley Marino.
Bo, and I'm just glad I could use the words filthy whore mouth in Muppets Revenge.
Yeah.
And Martin.
Martin, who I'm sure will be making filthy whore mouth references later, just to balance everything out so you get it from both sides. So this is obviously the follow-up to 2010's, I believe it was 2010's.
Why not?
Muppet Reboot, put together by Jason Segel and Mr. Babin. This time around, Segel is nowhere to be found.
Yay.
Not Babin, excuse me, Bobbin. James Bobbin takes over directing duties here. But you still have that lovable gang of felt rascals known as the Muppets, this time going on a world tour. But complications arise when it's found out that Kermit looks an awful lot like a master thief known as Constantine, who is sort of the Russian. I mean, I guess we're in like season 12 or 13 of the Muppets if they're going to the evil twin gag already, but... but yeah,
yes,
that's...
I would say after nearly 40 years, yes, they're probably running a bit thin on ideas.
Well, it was funny, during this movie, Kermit talks about the idea of growing old, and I was like, if you were going to grow old, Frog, you probably would have done it by now. Like, meanwhile, Paul Williams is like, fuck you guys, you're all the same age. But yeah, so Muppets Most Wanted kind of follows this whole, like, Kermit getting swapped out for Constantine and what's going on with the world tour. I don't want to give too much away, but that's the basic plot. And now I'm interested to hear what everybody else has to say about this movie, because I'm rapidly becoming afraid that I'm going to be in the minority on how I feel about this film.
You
so
really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you go
hey,
first?
Hey, Brian, don't play poker, okay?
All the Muppets have to do for me is show up, freak out. Perfect. Loved it.
Well, they do that. Okay. Well, there you have it. That's the review.
It was.
You're welcome.
Like, literally every time, like, Animal came on screen, Ashley was like,
Well-known Ashley fact, Animal is my favorite Muppet. Yeah.
Everybody has a favorite.
Yeah.
Mine is Rizzo, so I'm glad he makes an appearance in this film.
Wait, G.W. Bailey was in this?
Yes, exactly.
He comes back in a big way.
He does, actually.
For like 5 minutes.
In a way that kind of waves its finger at the last one. It's like, yeah, maybe at the expense of beloved characters who weren't featured in the first one.
Yeah, like,
whoa!
And that's actually, like...
I love that about it.
That's one of the things... I really loved about this. It, for me, it washed away a lot of the sins of the first one because, you know, I have this crazy idea that when it's a Muppet movie, the stars should be Muppets and not necessarily Jason Segel and Amy Adams.
Oh my
God. That I dislike those guys.
Yeah, but Jason Segel spent that 90 minutes patting himself on the back for bringing back the Muppets.
Really, really did. And good on him back in the forefront. And I'm sure Disney had a little bit to do with it. But hey, you know, this is the things I really loved about the first couple of movies, the original series. It's very self-referential. It makes fun of itself all the time. It's still kind of going with the idea that the Muppets themselves are kind of the amateur hour theater.
Right.
It utilizes the characters really well. There are lots of the old faves get their really cool moments in the sun. It doesn't feel – there's nothing about this that feels strained. They're just going with the gag. They're like, all right, we know what works. Let's go do it.
I'm right there with you on that because the previous movie left pretty much a bad taste in my mouth. When this came up, I was like, man, I am not looking forward to this because the last movie did too much self-congratulations. And I'm like, all right, that's enough, you know, praising yourselves, but – show me what makes you cool.
And this, you know,
and this hopped into what, like you said, what they did with the show, where they were actually performing the show as it was and everything that you liked about it. And it's like, you know, like the other Muppet sequels from the original run of Muppet movies, where it's more plot driven.
In this, the human co-stars aren't as foot forward as they were in the previous film. I mean, you get really fun performances by, you know, Ricky Gervais basically playing Charles Grodin's role from The Muppet Caper. You get Tina Fey.
I mean, it's mostly the two of them.
And Ty Burrell are basically your troika of stars that, you know, get lots of screen time, lots of lines. And then they just, you know, shotgun blast with cameos. There's all kinds of people in this. You know, you can't really, you know, go 5 seconds in this without seeing a famous face. And some of those are very effective. I never knew I wanted to see Ray Liotta do musical theater,
right?
Apparently, I really, really did.
And finally, the Muppets are taking the French down a notch. Yeah. They've been riding way too high. Way too high.
Another moment in the sun for the guy who looks like a summer squash.
Well, it is one of those where Ty Burrell is playing, it's almost like reminding me of Steve Martin as Inspector Clouseau.
Almost.
Yes.
Except he's funny.
Yeah, except except he manages to be funny, but yeah, all the French burns and all, it's like, all right, these are kind of old. Okay, that one is actually pretty funny.
They took all of the old saws and were like, how can we dress this up? And they did it really well.
Something about our DNA as Americans keeps us laughing at jokes at the French's expense.
Thanks for all that money and pulling our fat out of the fire in the revolution. Now, fuck you, Froggy.
I rally behind American things like the Statue of Goddamn Liberty. Oh, shit. Who gave us that? Oh, fuck. All right, never mind.
Well, to be fair, a lot of those jokes weren't just about France, just Europe in general.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole getting, you know, vacations at infinite vacations.
Time for my 8-month vacation. Goodbye.
Getting vacations and having lunch breaks.
Yeah, when you think
only
about
having to work a certain amount of set hours a week.
And don't pull any punches, Muppets.
Fucking barbarians.
I have to say, so I loved this one. I loved the first one. And I think that the first one was kind of like an update to the Muppets. It was more, I think, of what this generation of younger viewers might expect in this kind of movie. And then this movie introduced them to the Muppets as an older generation kind of remembers them. Now that they've kind of been warmed up a little bit to the franchise.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I loved them both, having said that. But yeah, this one definitely feels like a throwback. Not just in the jokes with like Russia and France, like literally the content, but also that it's more plot driven, that the characters are more prevalent.
Well, I love how you have this whole Russian contingent here, which up until a couple of months ago, would have felt really outdated.
Don't even pretend. They're just like, yeah, everybody's got the you know, hammer and sickle insignia on their stuff. They're like, no, this is Soviet Russia. There is a small area of Siberia where so nobody got the news flash that there's no more Soviet Union. No, fuck you. We still have a gulag.
Muppets Most Wanted may go down in history as the most prescient film of all time if things continue the way that they are.
So now that we all agreed that we like the movie, let's give our rating. Brian, you didn't have, I mean, you're with us.
See, I feel like Martin is, you know, when usually when there's a Wes Anderson movie, I kind of understand Martin's position on every other Wes Anderson review.
Listeners, if you have any children, now's the time you want to gather them around the mic so we can
look. I'm only
going
to use the word cunt like twice. Okay. You know what? Ashley has kind of dashed my theory to bits because I thought the dividing line here was like, if you didn't like the first one, then this is actively trying to be a different film from the first one. So if there are things about the first one that you don't like, this is kind of just by its nature antithetical to that. But I really liked the first one. So actually, I'm surprised that you liked the first one and you like this one. So now I just don't have a leg to stand on. And that's fine because they're made of felt anyway. But no, I just
they're really brought to life by magic and love.
Magic and love.
And a hand up their ass.
And scotch. And lots of hallucinogenic drugs.
Hey, man, if you want to put your hand up your ass, there better be some scotch.
That's what I'm saying. See, this is why you gather the kids around to hear what I have to say, because of jokes like that. But yeah, I found this to be, like, kind of a chore. Like, I didn't see the first one so much as self-congratulatory as I did just being kind of this maybe a little bit over-the-top love letter to, you know, I mean, I don't feel like Jason Segel was congratulating himself as much as he was just kind of letting himself get lost in how much he loves the Muppets, which I kind of, you know, I latched onto. But I can understand, like, if you didn't latch onto that, you know, obviously then you're not going to enjoy it as much. And this movie is going to be a completely different experience. But one of the things that really bothered me about this movie was that none of the songs were memorable. I didn't like all of the, I mean, say what you will about the first movie, it has an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, especially
like all of the songs from the first one work on such a dynamic level that even if you hadn't seen the movie at all, you would enjoy the songs. And I feel like there isn't even, I can't even tell you the lyrics pretty much to any of the songs that happen in this film.
That's weird because especially during like the Tina Fey song, I felt the exact opposite of you. I was like, I can't remember any of those songs from the first one, but this song I dig.
See, I feel like I am your Constantine, Martin. I feel like that's what's happening here.
I kind of, you know, I,
where's
to
my
tell
mole?
You the truth, I didn't really enjoy the you know, I won't go so far as to say I didn't enjoy, but you know, the music from the first, the music from this, I don't really see all that much distinction. I you know, hey man, bring back Paul Williams. He's still alive. Right?
And the first,
and he's in there.
Come on.
And it's funny, the first two songs in this movie sounded to me more distinctly Paul Williams than anything in the first one because it has that weird sort of tinny piano and like vaudeville trills, like even in like these big anthems, it was like, wait, the way the notes dip down right there is really like sort of a hey kind of a thing.
I can't tell if that was a compliment or an insult.
No, it is. I'm complimenting, but that being said, I can't remember one fucking lyric from that song. I can't even remember what they were singing when their voices went down like that.
Hey man, lyrics have gone downhill for musical theaters.
That's true.
In the last
thank you, Andrew
years.
Lloyd Webber. But yeah, so overall, I was just left very underwhelmed. And some of, like, the most embarrassing cameos from the first one were still kind of like, oh, well, whatever. The most embarrassing cameos in this one, I wanted to pull my damn teeth out. Like, the Usher thing, the Usher joke, it was like,
awesome.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That was awesome.
Oh,
I was like, that's a cheap joke, but it got a pretty big laugh out of me.
I turned to Ashley, and I was like, finally, his whole entire career makes sense to me
right,
now.
Really?
What the fuck
planet am I living
honestly,
on?
Honestly, I was like, why did it take so long for somebody to finally make this joke?
I just don't like the pun, okay? I just think that it was
really.
I'm sorry, Brian. Say it again.
Guys, let me talk to
Brian. I can't do it.
Just because they're making puns doesn't mean that you can't make puns. It also doesn't mean that your puns don't mean as much to us as they always
did. It's a zero-sum game, puns. If they make that pun, I don't make that pun.
To be fair, the Muppets puns are like 12-inch throbbing huge puns.
That's true. That's very true.
12-inch throbbing felt puns.
But even
my favorite pun.
Even you guys have to agree that the ending of this movie, like with the characters on the wall, like that was so hard to watch.
Are you kidding? The only thing I didn't like about the ending is they robbed me of the next movie being called Muppet Gulag.
The shitty CG is they're all stuck to. Come on, you guys.
Brian, that's a tiny gag that they clearly set up before. It was not outside the realm of possibility.
It's how bad it looked that was really driving me crazy. I was just like,
really?
The CG is so terrible in this. I don't get it. I don't understand in a movie that has, in a franchise that has been characterized by the great puppet work that they're doing, suddenly in this movie there was a shit ton of CG. Why do they do
that? See it in 3D, I'll give you that.
I don't get that. Like, I don't get why they're employing so much CG in a movie that should be about the puppet work. I feel like there was too much of that in this movie. I don't know.
I I feel like you're writing the jokes for me.
I'm standing by everything I'm saying, man.
If a deer wanders and just stops in front of your car, in front of your rifle,
I don't understand.
Is it like sportsmanlike to go ahead and pull the trigger? Or
okay,
they set out deer corn. At least this one wandered randomly.
I don't know what I'm saying, Brian, that's incendiary here.
I'll totally give Brian this, which is that the opening sequence of the first one is a work of art.
Oh, okay, that's true.
And I don't think there was a musical number that had quite the, like, grandiose introduction.
Do me a favor and repeat all of my arguments so that they're fine with them when you say them? Okay.
Yeah, she's a translator.
That's fine.
You know, I think Brian's trying to say...
I use that first movie is, it's an impossible gold standard that will never be realized by a Muppet movie again. I mean,
you mean the very first Muppet?
The very first one.
Right.
Yeah,
I was like, wait,
Rainbow Connection.
With Rainbow Connection and Moving Right Along. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I could still probably sit down and sing those songs right now.
Right, right, right.
I'm tearing up just thinking about you doing that. Yeah. And you're not even a Muppet.
Well.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, lightning's not going to strike it again. The stuff that I do go to a Muppet movie for was here in spades. I like the irreverence. I like the jokes. I like the cheesiness, and I think they purposely played it off as being very cheesy, and it worked for me.
Yeah. Same here. Matter of fact, the only real complaint, I mean, look, not all the jokes here. There's points in there where there's a few falling flat, but not enough to make me check out because, hey, they bounce right back with something like, wow, I was not expecting that. If I had any complaint about the movie, the real complaint is that it's a little too long. 113 minutes is a bit much. 90 would have been perfect.
Agreed.
Probably, yeah.
Agree, and then there are some legitimately funny moments. I do like when Tina Fey is saying goodnight to all the prisoners. And they keep saying goodnight to her, and then she says goodnight back. It's very like, you know, goodnight, John Boy. And then Danny Trejo's character says goodnight, and she just goes, goodnight, Danny Trejo. Because it's Danny Trejo.
That guy is seriously, he's in every prison.
Yeah.
Every prison.
He was in fact,
every prison. He's
he
just,
had
yeah.
a role in the first one that got cut out of the movie where he played, get this, a guy in prison.
Ah.
If what the fuck?
A, if
is he actually
prison
in prison?
Movie, it's the law. Well, I think it's some kind of, like, incredibly bizarre work release program.
Well, I mean, I know that is kind of how he got started, but in the acting world was like, oh, let's get a very realistic ex-con, somebody who was actually in prison. But I'm thinking now that there should be, like, some internet, like, charity, like, free Danny Trejo, because if you see him in movies, you might think he's actually in prison.
Dude, I think he actually, at this point, I'm under the impression that he went to prison purposefully, because it made his career take off.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, he's not going to be Danny Trejo gynecologist. I mean, like, what else do you want him to play?
He does spread your legs. Go to that one.
I'm going to warm this up a little.
He might I would hire him. I bet he knows some shit.
Probably.
It's because Machete is a better nickname than Duck Lips, I think, is part of the problem. How did we get on this tangent?
Wait,
this is fun.
Is your gynecologist named Duck Lips?
Yes. Wait, who are you talking to?
Brian,
what happened?
The gynecologist. Interesting fact, Brian and I have the same gynecologist.
It's true.
So mine is also named that.
I've heard of him, Duck Lips.
I also enjoy
Gottlieb.
Reading He's the highlights great. For children magazines in that lobby, which is also weird. Muppets Most Wanted was the movie we were reviewing, and I think it's probably time for final thoughts. Okay. Martin, I will start with you.
Well, I don't know what more I can say than before, other than, like, wow, so much better than the last movie. Loved it. Had a lot of fun, way more than I expected. Not perfect, but still captured what I did like about watching the Muppet Show, not the Jason Segel Show. And I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 green-painted moles.
Nice. Bo?
This was a real win for me. Like I said, it kind of, I didn't have a bad taste in my mouth from the first one, but this was a refreshing new lemon lime taste that reminded me of how lemon lime soda tasted when I was growing up. So if you're a old school fan, I think this is really going to hit you where you live. If you're just a parent and you got to take your kids to see this, I think you're going to at least have a couple of laughs during it. I don't think there's anything too painful or teeth gritting, despite the shoddy CGI at the end. I'm definitely going to give this. I'm going to go ahead and give it 8 lazy Europeans out of 10.
There are only 10 lazy Europeans?
No, there are okay. Like literally thousands.
Perpetuating old stereotypes.
So I loved the first one. I liked this one. I actually liked the first one a little bit better. That said, I really loved this one. Because of the way the plot goes, my favorite Muppet, Animal, whose character is sometimes somewhat limited in the plot he can drive, given his small vocabulary.
Or limited, to one word over and over again.
He gets to take a totally prominent role, which I was really excited about, because he's amazing.
Woman!
I mean, there's just so much to recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's super cute. Everyone's gonna love it. Everyone's gonna find something they like in it. I am going to give this 4 out of 5 Muppet Men.
Muppet Men, yes. Okay. Well, I wish I had seen the same Muppet movie that everybody else did. Apparently, I was in a different theater watching Enemy, and that's why it didn't make any sense to me. Honestly, I feel like I really liked the first one, and I feel like that may have been what kept me from liking this one, because it is an entirely different movie. I mean, even right down to the joke construction is very different in this film than it was in the first one. I just think while there were a lot of funny moments that had me laughing out loud, I feel like overall it didn't work for me the way the first one did, and especially I thought the music was very weak. But overall, I think I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 Pepe the Prawns. Remember the Pepe the Prawn? No, that's right, you don't. That's my point.
Yeah, who is that?